Live from Los Angeles, this is The Bachelor Masters. I am Craig, and I was wrong. Leo did not make it into the final four like I had predicted. I hadn't realized that what he had said to Becca, which is they hadn't really spent any time together, any quality time. Once he mentioned that and I reflected on it and the way that they were interacting with each other, it made sense that he got cut. Poor Wills, though, if she could go back in time, she wouldn't give
Colton
the rose. Of course, she had to give him the rose because she would look horrible if she didn't, having him just say that he was a virgin. So that left Wills in an impossible corner where he couldn't get a rose.
Wait, Craig, are you saying that she thought she would give Colton a rose, but wouldn't have if she knew he were a virgin beforehand, and she might have given Wills the one-on-one, but because he sprung that on her in the one-on-one, she couldn't let him go?
Yes, I have two thoughts on that. First, I wish she had had the chance to have a rose ceremony, because if all things being equal, she would have picked Wills over Colton, after she had had conversations with all of them. But it's just the nature of this type of episode where she has to give a rose at the end of these each one-on-one date or they go home. My second thought is, and this is something that the Bachelor podcast brought up on their podcast yesterday, it's not that he's a virgin that's a problem. It's that he doesn't have a reason for being a virgin that's a problem. He has no good reason. He has no good reason.
Sure he does. Ashley I has, so the only good reason is religion? Is that what you're saying?
No. There's Ashley I had an imperative to be a virgin. She believed in it, and kind of that was part of her identity. She owned it. Colton had no reason. He just said, well, I just didn't, and then I didn't do it, and then I was focused on this or that. I think it would raise question marks for anyone, for any sort of big part of their life. Sex is a big part of one's life. And if it is religion or some sort of moral code, or even if it's, I didn't when I was young and I decided to wait until later. He didn't even say that. He just had no good explanation.
I mean, having no good explanation and having no good reason is different. I think he had a reason that he was kind of hiding on purpose, and his reason might be religious. I mean, I don't know what the reason is, but it also sounded like it could have been just the same reason Ashley I gave that wasn't religious, that was like, I just don't think it's worth it if I don't care about the person. And I think that's the best reason of them all. I think that's better than a religious reason, really.
I don't know. I think you have to go out of your way to not have sex in this Western corporate culture, especially if you're a jock.
Right. Or you're getting way too peer pressured all the time, and you just don't want to deal with it, so you just say no all around. I've known people like that.
But that in itself is odd behavior. It's non-standard behavior that would raise a red flag.
It's non-standard, but I don't think it could mean anything, It could mean that
this is a television show where you get a minimal amount of time with these people to make a decision, and that is a big enough red flag amongst red flags to say you're cut.
In terms of these having to be kind of these stereotype red-blooded American guys on this show, I do think it's weird. But I don't think it's weird in terms of someone just saying that and just being kind of an innocent person. Now, I like the way he covered his bases and kind of said something like, yeah, I said I did in the locker room. Because someone's going to say he has.
Yeah.
She even kind of did a really, like, not a really, like, wow, I'm impressed, but a really, like, I don't believe you.
I think this whole, I don't want to have sex and I have no reason and I just am focused on lifting weights isn't interesting, and I would cut him too.
I'll refer back to a previous conversation we had on this. I think back in the premiere when they played a clip of this, which is, to me, it's not a problem that he's a virgin or not. I could care less either way. It's that he makes it an issue. It's not even if he has a good reason or not. It's like he clearly and strategically decided that this was going to be a talking point. No one would have dug anything up on him if he had decided not to make this an issue. Mm-hmm. But he is. He's like, this is what he's sticking to. And anytime we get into kind of these sexual mores in The Bachelor and people want to stick their identity to that, I lose a lot of respect regardless of what it is in it for that person, because it's sort of like, well, my personality or whatever the like primary thing that would be part of this relationship isn't enough. I need this other thing. Right. Especially on TV. I thought it was lame.
We're supposed to infer that something is right, like Craig said, something is wrong with him. He's not as virile as we thought, or he's not as attractive as we think, because no one has forced him to have sex yet. I mean, is that what being a virgin means when it's not religious?
No.
In popular culture, in our lives, is someone going to tell you that?
Because Becca presses him on this. She says, oh, didn't you have a girlfriend? Did you love her? And he sort of, they get by that. But that's kind of what I infer from it. Is like, well, you say you were in a committed relationship. And I'd have to agree that to me, it just says like, well, have you really had a close relationship if you didn't have something that approximated to sex in like a close romantic relationship?
Right.
It's just, it does suggest distance or some kind of, and now I agree, it's not always the case. It doesn't mean that every rule, but in most cases it would say like, well, that wasn't a very close relationship then, or there's some immaturity there.
Right.
I guess I've known the one exception, and I'm really serious. I might have met two men at the time, boys, but still like 18-year-olds that decided not to, and not for any religious reason.
The 18's a lot different than whatever.
I think so too.
He's lost like 26, my virginity, isn't he? When I was 18, I actually lost it on the very first night in the dorms of college. So.
Oh my goodness!
So I held out, but 18's 18.
Yeah.
So here's the thing: if he had said, you know what, I didn't have sex in college for whatever reason, and then I decided, you know what, that's a part of me, and I really now am committed to waiting for the right person, which could be you. That is one thing. It's another thing where he kind of tried to say that at the end, but it was like totally half-assed after she had already embarrassed him by walking off. He didn't mean that. He had no reason, and that is weird. I mean, this is not a show called The Fetish. I mean, I wish there were shows with people that had different approaches to sexuality and dating and things like that, but that's not the nature of the show. People that are on the show conform to gender and other norms, and if she's looking for a partner that conforms to her norms, then this is a reason to cut him, because it just raises too many red flags to her.
Do you remember do you guys remember when The 40-Year-Old Virgin came out, and everybody, I mean, it's a really, really popular movie, right? Everyone likes it a lot. Yeah, I don't know anyone who doesn't like it.
Yeah.
It's very funny. But I almost said Will Ferrell, when Steve Carell explains why it never happened, it totally makes sense. It's something that's not outlandish, you know?
Yeah, but he's like a football player who has been on the roster of NFL teams for like 6 or 7 years. He's a dorky salesman of electronics at the movie Analog to Circuit City.
I would say that the movie presents the Steve Carell character as someone who's much more on the fringes than someone that you would expect to win The Bachelor, who's supposed to be like Mr. Mrs. Mainstream.
Right.
Well, what about the fact that Ashley I was not a virgin for years on the Bachelor franchise? And then once she definitely was not a virgin with the Canadian or Australian guy.
Yeah, then her kind of like swoops in and finally dates.
And then Jared finally says, now I can marry her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I mean, I don't know however else to put it. She was very clear and content with it. She had a clear...
Right, but that's a lot more accepted, the fact that she was a virgin, and I think...
Because she's female versus male? I mean, there's certainly, I think...
That too, but also she was a lot immature. She's seems to have some kind of, maybe not religious, but cultural or heritage reason why she didn't do it. And if you remember from her season, it seemed to have been... She was trying to model her life after Kardashians. I don't know if that's true anymore, but that's her.
Right.
That might be her heritage.
Like posters in her room. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then she's Orthodox or something like that.
Right.
I don't know Ashley I as well, except for that spinoff that she was on. Mm-hmm. But for either of these people, for anyone, what are you signaling to either a partner or the television audience by revealing that information? Are you trying to lower sexual expectations, that it's like, look, if I'm awkward or clumsy, here's why?
Yeah.
Or I guess that's where I don't understand. And I guess I can see what Craig's saying with Colton, If it's a religious reason, that I understand, it's part of your identity and you're going to let a lot of that show. But if it's for a different reason, then who care? Who really cares?
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Why is he bringing it up?
Yeah. Because of the fantasy suite.
That's why?
But well, that is the only reason.
I mean, I would want America to know too. But
that is, it has seriously been brought up right before the fantasy suite. Like, as the fantasy suite card is being handed over, they're like, there's something I got to talk to you about first.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, I think Ashley, I might have done it that way. Well, no. She didn't make it. You're right. Raven. Maybe it was Raven.
Well, Raven said she had never had
an
orgasm. Right.
Right.
Actually, I did do it. But then she didn't make it to the fantasy suite with whoever on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Can we maybe talk about someone who I'm sure has had lots of sex? Your favorite person, my favorite person.
Leo. Are we going to get to him? Because he deserves so much time. But yeah, go ahead, Leo.
Well, I think he'll do just fine. We mentioned this last time. He's got a lot going for him. I'm sure the attendance at his Waterworld show will skyrocket.
I'm sure his little league, I'm sure his like minor league baseball games, people actually go to. I don't know what he's doing. Weird-ass
video to his Instagram where it's like some high-quality drone footage of him walking onto a baseball field and hitting balls. It was so weird.
Well, to be clear, I don't feel bad for Leo for getting cut.
No.
I'm going to miss him personally. It's a selfish reason. I want him to be on TV.
Yeah.
To look at, to like observe, not to ogle.
I do appreciate when someone has the maturity, and this goes for Becca too, to realize that it's not working and to break it off on the TV show without saying anything you regret, because there was nothing to say to regret. It was like a clean break.
The best part about that is that they said some stuff to each other that kind of it was a very, Victorian Jane Austen breakup. They said some stuff at each other, and then they're like, this is clear now. And then she walked away like she murdered him. Like, then you don't really see him until you see him kind of alone. And it looked like she was, like, wiping her mouth or something, like she just ate him. And then that's it. You never say, can I walk you out? There was never a, I guess, bye. It was just... Yeah. It's not going to happen in different terms. And then she walked back.
Right.
So strange. It was a strange breakup for The Bachelor.
I thought of a question that I thought could undo some of the logic of previous discussions that we had, which is when we were talking about how sincere or not sincere Leo is and ECR, I think I got the logical, the way to melt that a little bit. Now there is an answer to this, but you would have to admit some things that go against what you've said before.
Okay.
And it's, if Becca is so uninteresting as a bachelorette, and if there really is this widespread lack of interest, and if Leo is very sincere, then how do you square the circle when he says that he thinks she's great and he has these heartfelt speeches to her? Is he boring too in his tastes in her? Is he lying?
So here's where we're at right now. I think that lay this groundwork down right before we go on to Leo, it's hard to prove what's not there. I'm saying in comparison, I think long-term discerning Bachelor viewers will be able to see what I saw. But I don't think it exists anymore because now we're 2 months in, this is week 8.
So she is interesting and Leo is telling the truth.
Well, at this point, he's interested in her. He is offering a woman to take a chance. And I think that's where, it could have been in the end that he would not have been interested in her, although he offered her to take the chance. And I think she thought, we're not compatible, but I think you're great.
I guess I don't know whose side I'm on anymore. Whether it's EZR's long-standing notion that Becca is not interesting to the guys and they're going through the motions.
Well, to be fair, I think that's over now.
I think maybe he's the last guy of that contingent. Because what he was saying is just stuff anyone would say.
That I'm much closer to that, just to answer my own question. think that Leo is a great actor, but he's not sincere. I think he's the best at seeming sincere. Well, but I think in this breakup, he doesn't care. I don't think he ever cared about being with Becca.
But I wouldn't even bring sincerity into it. What he said is not insincere. It's just what you would say. I mean, I don't know. Have you been on dates where you think the person's cool and attractive, but just not for you? You just say, hey, I think you're cool and attractive, but whatever, it's not working out. I mean, there's nothing insincere about that.
Yeah, in his cutoff, in his one-on-ones especially, he said some things that were much more than, this is someone I'm passively interested in. Okay. I think he really played like, she is this really great person and I don't get attached to, I haven't dated, I've only ever had one serious relationship, but I would be interested in that with you.
I hadn't thought it. I was only thinking myopically about the beach scene, but you're right. Yeah, he expressed more sincere versus non-sincere type things previously.
But he knows, and he has a lot of self-awareness. He had said, I know I'm a different guy here.
Right.
I think that's why he knew he wouldn't win from the beginning. And I think it just shows, again, how good he was at kind of playing this game that he got as far as he did. Because I think he knew about himself what lots of people could see. And that's why I think he knows I've got this banging life back in Studio City doing my LA thing. I get far in The Bachelor. I make audiences like us swoon for him. And then I'm back and it's like suddenly I'm a minor celebrity and life is great. I didn't want to be with Becca. That's what I get from him.
Yeah.
I wish that wasn't true. Not that it isn't. It's probably true, but
when you have a crush, you know, some things get blinded.
I don't have a crush on him.
I do. I'm willing to admit it.
He's not my type, but I like him a lot. And I'm willing to agree with all of that. I just think he says the best things in the best way. So it's hard, like he didn't say it, since it's not in Bachelor cliches, it's hard to not believe it because he's thinking of things originally.
Yes, I think that's exactly it.
That could be the statement of our entire Bachelor Masters franchise here. Like, he didn't speak in cliches, so we don't really know what to do. Wow. That's it. We have nothing else to say. We've done this for 2 years, and that's it.
We're packing up.
Well, on our Hulu playback here, our non-official sponsor, Hulu, we're towards the end of the Colton date, and they're kind of cutting in the guys at the pad, and we're seeing Blake. The other podcasts kind of refer to Blake's meltdown. Like he's getting more and more agitated. I didn't really get that watching it the first time, but... He does seem to unravel a bit.
He looks like the guy that got bit, you know, by a zombie and didn't want to tell anyone. Like, he's just kind of stewing and freaking out.
I don't know. Maybe his vitamin D content is low or something.
He's just, every day, he's just unraveling more and more, and he can't take it. And it kind of explodes when he gets taken out on a date, which we'll get to. But I guess to wrap up Colton, since he's wrapping it up and I do want to move on to Blake, but... Colton constantly has this deer in the headlights look to him.
Yeah.
Like he can't handle the next thing. So if there's any reason why he is a virgin, if it's true, which honestly, let's go back one. I would believe that it's not true. I could see him lying.
I could see that too.
Cute little demeanor he has. It's kind of a shocked look. Different than Clay, who was kind of aloof.
Right.
Looking. It is him covering up. Girls think he's handsome. Becca thinks he's handsome and cute. But then there's him covering up kind of this cutesy thing that he might have some, I don't know,
right. Well, secret. In the previews for next episode, we see Tia say, I need to talk to you outside. And then we go from Bika to the other girl. They're like,
Kendall.
Gasp! It's like, I love those kind of reaction shots. So it's either typical Bachelor tricking us into thinking it's something big when it's probably like, I just wanted to tell you that I'm developing a mole on my back that I want you to look at. Or okay. It's like, you know, Colton totally had sex with me, so he no virgin.
Yeah, that's what they want us to think, right?
That's what they want us to think.
Raven and Becca got in a fight on Twitter over Tia.
I remember that. I think we talked about that a couple podcasts ago, but I don't know.
Right, but this might be the reason why. right?
Oh.
When Colton goes to paradise, I don't know, spoiler alert. This is his whole plot, is to get to paradise, to be with Tia, and it's just a way to be likable on TV, and hopefully them and as a couple can forever make money together. That's the ultimate goal.
Bika's, why did she get into a fight about that?
I guess Bika was trying to defend Becca by saying that Colton should have not acted that way and that Tia's involved.
Should resign.
And Raven defended her friend Tia, saying Tia would never be in on this kind of thing, I think. And then it starts off with aliases or like generalities, and then it gets personal, and then it goes back to generalities and like peace and love, everybody. Right. You know, that's how people fight on the internet, right, that know each other, okay, or that have proximity to each other.
Okay. Well, speaking of Bika, I'm not a big fan of talking about like things that happen, their own careers and stuff like that, but there was apparently a big Bachelorette watch party last night in
Monday night
in Atlanta.
That's why Viviana and
I think it was Bika were there. Yeah, they all flew in, and apparently it was a $200 fee cover, I guess. I don't know, a restaurant or a bar.
Jeez.
Which actually is not so bad if you think about it. If it was an open bar, that's actually probably a pretty good deal.
Oh, an open bar?
I would have paid it. If it was an open bar and there was food, I'd pay $200 to go hang out with these people and have a laugh and watch the show. That'd be kind of neat.
What?
Yeah, totally. Why not?
$100, I can see, because then you'd be kind of drink your money back, but $200, that's excessive. That extra $100 is for them. That's
how I see it too. The Bachelor royalty there, yeah, okay, then that's a premium.
Yeah. Well, I travel from time to time, and away from, you know, my friends and family, and I've kept up on Instagram just to see if there's a watch party, because I've often that'd be a fun thing to do on your own, just to kind of go check it out. This would be a little bit different, because I don't think those other kind of watch parties pay $200. You have to pay $200. But consequently, Instagram has been flooded the last 24 hours with these professional model shots of Bika and Kendall and all the other, and Bibiana, right, because, you know, all hanging out and look at us, we're trying out this new product.
I hate spoilers, or I hate like outside the TV world things, because I feel like I already have things to do and I should just concentrate on the TV life. But I did know about that Twitter fight because it's two people that could possibly get into it with each other on TV. Season will not let Ari season go.
So you're saying Bika is in a fight with Tia?
Bika's in a fight with Raven because of Tia.
Okay. Oh, right. Because Raven was like, Tia would never set anything up like that. And Bika's like, well, I bet they conspired to get him on Bachelor Paradise so that they could be a power couple and live off in infamy. Okay. Fair enough. Well, let's keep an eye on that.
Becca would have, a part in that too, except that she gets to kiss, what's his name, Colton. Yeah, whatever. You know, I'm sure they're all kind of in on it. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a fake Twitter fight, and if Becca's in on the fact that Colton and Tia are going to be together.
This is all the Bika conspiracy. That's what this could be called. And it's layer after layer.
She's Bachelor Nation royalty right now. I mean, she can do no wrong, right?
Yeah, she's the it girl that isn't the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
She's going to paradise?
Yes.
She is?
Awesome. No.
Bika?
Oh, I thought, wait, she wasn't part of the list of contestants?
I don't remember her being on there, you could be right.
No. I just assumed. I don't know one way or the other. So if you don't think she's on there, then she's not on there.
Well, they do have a list of contestants, but then they might also spring more on us as the weeks go on.
I had that thought too. She has nothing to gain by being on Bachelor in Paradise.
In fact, good point. She could be bad.
Yeah.
If she's at a high point, you're right. Usually you can only kind of diminish a little bit or stay the same.
Right.
Yeah. Becca's season is concentrating a lot on Ari's season. You'd have to have seen it to understand most of what's happening.
Right.
So it's annoying, but it also goes to our original thesis that Becca isn't that interesting or has much of a storyline of her own without it.
Well, that's actually a good segue. By way of moving our conversation forward here, I have a couple things. The first is, for that very reason, I just hope the Bachelor producers understand that they got to start over with The Bachelor next time. It has to be a clean break from past contestants.
What? That's never happened.
No Wills,
That's not true. That
they just need a go out and find someone and get start fresh, because this whole cycle is just getting deeper and deeper and less interesting and less interesting.
The one time it the thing is now is that they're used to do that, right? Clean slate every single time. Yeah, and yeah, when there was no social media, it was an actual clean slate because there's no way to know. There's no way to contact anybody.
Yeah, of course.
And then about 10 years ago, they started doing – women would get spurned. Is that the word? Yeah. On The Bachelor and
no,
then
– No. I understand whatever. All this. They have to start over. This is getting too much.
They had no one with Ari. Like when Ari was the one that was picked – it was because they had no one else, right? It was almost going to be Peter, Rachel's cast off.
I'm just saying, go out and get some Wall Street executive, loaded money, and a yacht.
We have to already love them. That's the rule.
I don't think this would make any of the three of us happy, but I could see a good strategy being ABC taps a YouTube star. Because then they get a young audience in. They have a built-in audience. They already know we can get, whatever, X million views. Because X million people watch this YouTubers.
Like the
it's got to be someone. Because I doubt that they're going to go with someone that they don't kind of know the metrics of their built-in audience. Since ratings are still good for The Bachelor, but have been, they kind of flag in the last few seasons. They would need something that it's like, we know we could get back up closer to like double-digit ratings for this.
Exactly.
I think that's still like a good 5 years away, Chris, if that were to happen.
I'm not speculating as to how likely this is. I'm just saying that would be an interesting strategy.
TV's so far behind.
Like, I mean, that's definitely true. If they pick Wills, though, my God, it's just going to be same conversations over and over. But anyway, I don't want to dwell on that.
About someone who speaks in Bachelor cliches. Yeah, though. I think seriously. You go to the person who that's all he knows.
Yeah, and he doesn't even talk much anyway. So
no.
I mean, if they wanted someone sincere, they would pick. I mean, it depends who she picks. But if they wanted someone sincere, they should pick Blake, right?
Well, I think it's important. I think it's important that they go with a person of color for The Bachelor.
Another rule of thumb, Craig, is that they've already done that. So the race wars are now over.
Right,
like,
right. This is the second point I want to bring up. I thought, interestingly enough, that the proposal was very good. Now
I did too.
I still fast forward through
90%
of it. But the ending was so great. She picked the right guy. Into her. I mean, it was fun to watch. She was cool. The two guys left were cool. She picked the cool guy.
I thought the best part about the proposal, this episode only, was that it was older people.
Yeah.
The proposal needed.
That
is a discriminated group right there. Because she said she was a grandma. I was like, now I'm interested. I am so interested. And then when her daughter walked up, I was like, oh, she really must be over 50.
Right.
At least.
Well, imagine that. You know, they put someone on who has a career and things going on for her, and it's interesting.
I like both of the guys at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked them both, and I liked that I knew them better than I had any other proposal contestants, except for Scallop Fingers, because we already knew who he was, but.
Did you get a chance to catch the proposal, Chris?
You know, I've seen the first half, so I know who it's my fault. I guess I thought we might not talk about it, but I did start watching today, and I did like the setup for the reasons that you said, but I haven't seen the reveal of who she is. I've just kind of heard her backstory and seen some of the first round of guys she picked.
We have to talk about the proposal at least for a minute or two so that I can put proposal in the title of our podcast when I post it. So you can always assume we'll give it some level of our insight.
Yeah. And if they really wanted to keep doing older people, whatever, I mean, something like this makes much more sense, because I really believe that those two people will get married out of anyone else. I mean, if you've already on your second or third marriage, have kids, everything's behind you, that's much more likely to happen than whatever, a 20-something-year-old.
Yeah,
you
totally. Know, that's it makes sense. Happen. It's like, we've had lives, we've had marriages, we've had kids. It makes a lot more sense to go on a show where you meet someone in a matter of minutes and get the damn thing over with you.
That's how old people meet anyways. Yeah. They meet at, like, grocery stores. They're like, let's go to big, you know, they don't care. They're done. Sorry. They're done, though. They're you know, they'll be happy with anyone that kind of, like, fills a seed and makes them food. Like, they're not interested in all this crap we're interested in that doesn't make any sense to me anyway.
I had a first date that was a weekend trip to Santa Barbara on the train.
You were born old.
Yeah, I was born old. It was fun. Maybe she's listening to this podcast.
Or that sounds like you're born in, like, a Richard Linklater movie. Like, you had a you met on a train to Santa Barbara.
No, we didn't meet on the train. We met on a bus. And then I called her up, and I was like, let's get together. And she's like, well, let's get on a train tomorrow and go to Santa Barbara. I was like, okay. The interesting part was, is, you know, it's Amtrak, which I usually like. But it got delayed, like, 3 hours sitting, doing nothing in the middle of, I don't know, Ventura County or something.
Such a brave first date, Craig, and to you, the person you dated. So well done to both of you.
Thank you. Well, Craig, if she's listening, I did have a good time. Thank you.
If I could tell you some of the crazy first dates I've ever been on. One time. Well, I mean, just to compare, because it's the one that's coming out to my, like, immediately. I drove to Joshua Tree to break some TVs just because, you know,
like it's The Bachelorette.
Easy.
Wait a second. This did they do that you railed against on The Bachelorette? Yeah,
I know, but they were already broken, and we just wanted to. They were already broke. They were already there.
So
but
that's
you're right.
The difference, huh?
Okay. Wait, so somebody had said, "Hey, there's broken
TVs." You're technically right, Chris.
At this location, and then you decided to go out there and re-break them.
Chris is definitely right, but they were already there. Yeah, and I just wanted to re-break them, and then drove to Vegas.
How did you know that there were broken TVs in the middle of the desert?
Oh, because a friend of mine went right before us and said, let's go break some TVs. I said, I don't want to do that unless. And then I was like, do you want to come with me?
Wait, so where'd you meet said guy?
I think he was a friend of a friend, and I'd met him at a party for like 3 hours. And then the next time we met up was when I picked him up to go to Joshua Tree.
And then... you didn't come back to LA. You went straight to Vegas after that.
Yeah. Oh, cool. And hung out on the Vegas Strip for a whole 20 minutes and then drove back.
What?
That is pretty good, ECR.
Thanks.
Very interesting.
Why did you only stay in Vegas for 20 minutes?
Well, I wasn't was not 21 going well? Yet. And no, I wasn't 21 yet, and there wasn't much to do, and I started feeling bad that I had gone out of state without telling my parents, so we just drove back.
Oh.
This is one night. We came back at 6 a.m. and I went back to my bed like, I've been asleep this whole time, Mom and Dad. And then I just...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right. I got some stories, Craig.
What did you talk about for, like, 8 hours in the car?
Oh, there's so much to talk about because I don't know the person. So it was like that.
All right.
But, well, I got, you know, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I talked to this woman on the train for God knows how many hours. So I guess I'm not one to say that you wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Road trip.
how did it end up well after that?
Just like, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months. Right. I don't know. I was younger. I was younger.
Chris, you have any strange first dates?
Chris, you got a story?
Nothing that will compare to your... Well, first year at college, one of the people, I would say it didn't last long enough that I would say we really dated, but I did meet them through running club, like freshman running club. But no, you guys have me cornered. I'm an actual old person in that I just go to bed early most nights and, you know, have chronic diseases and stuff like that.
Well,
so,
as they say on Seinfeld, love the daytime date. Nothing better than the daytime date. You don't have to shower.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you know, I think that's what Jerry Seinfeld says. It's like, you don't have to shower. There's no drinking involved.
Oh, there could be drinking involved if it's really good.
So they're on Garrett's date, and we kind of skipped over the fact that she asks him a question. Are you Twitter pated when you get with me? And he can't really answer, which makes her absolutely the 5 month girl.
Wait,
right?
Say that all over. I wasn't following.
Oh. Becca asked Garrett, are you still Twitter-pated around me?
Twitter-pated?
And he has a hard... That's what she says.
What does that mean?
Twitter it means, what? Like, excited. Are you still
Twitter-pated?
Excited?
Twitter-pated?
Is that what she says? I remember writing that down because I was like, is that how you say that? I don't think so. Yeah, that's a word, though.
I've never heard of... Is that where Twitter comes from?
No. It can't.
Is the word Twitter-baited, like, baited, all one word, Twitter-baited?
Twitter pated or Twitter baited?
With a P.
Twitter pated.
Twitter pated.
Twitter
That's
pated.
A new one for me,
who's
too.
Who's newer computer?
Twitter pated.
I have heard pated? This word before Twitter.
Are you on your computer?
I just looked it up. It's on Urban Dictionary, but it's an actual word. I know it is.
If it's on Urban Dictionary, it means it came from Twitter.
No, it did not. It absolutely, because I know I've heard it before Twitter. So let me, maybe I wrote it incorrectly because I'm used to writing.
Well, what did he say? Is he Twitter pated?
Oh, yeah. Infatuated or obsessed in a state of nervous excitement. Twitter pated.
Twitter pated.
I have heard it before Twitter, definitely. There should be some entomology date somewhere, but it's definitely before 2000.
Oh, yeah, it says from 1940s, from Twitter plus pated, having a head or mind of a specified kind. Oh, pate, like, that's right, head. And yeah, a Twitter, plenty. Twitter.
All right.
Cool, that's so, a good one.
What yeah. did he say?
He kind of couldn't answer. I can't believe she said it on TV, and then, anyway, he kind of couldn't answer. He was like, yeah, you know, yeah. But my point was that Chris had mentioned earlier that she is the five-month girl.
Yes.
And absolutely, he has seen her, what, a total of two times by himself, and he's kind of already complacent
and
about her.
He's not even Twitter-pated, you know?
Right.
I always get Twitter-pated, even for someone I've dated for at least 5 months. I am definitely Twitter-pated. I can't believe that he's not.
Please make sure to remember this word, because it will be on the final.
Well, speaking of not Twitter-pated... Something's wrong with Chris Harrison. He's either sick or totally uninterested in the series. Because when he sits down with her at the very beginning, or towards the beginning, he's like, hey, we are in the Bahamas. Is this your first time to the Bahamas? She's like, oh my god, yes, so great. So it's your first time in the Bahamas? Yeah, totally. It's totally my first time in the Bahamas. What are you going to do in your first time in the Bahamas? I mean, he his expression was just complete and utter disinterest, don't you think?
I mean, I'm used to Chris Harrison being a mentor.
Right. Yeah,
and
it's so weird
has,
to have him...
That's weaned off.
Not engaged like that. Like, even to be sitting across the seats like they were, they used to, like, go grab coffee or something at least. Now they're just... I'm going to check in for 5 seconds, and then that's it.
Well,
he looks a lot older this season, all at once. Well, because in previous seasons, when I wouldn't really notice that he's gotten older unless I made an effort to look at clips of him from the 90s and now. But maybe it's the resolution of the cameras or, like, how close they get to his face. But I did notice, along with what you're saying, Craig, that he is like, oh, man, Chris Harrison's looking old.
Right. All right, let's get into Garrett.
You should see the back of this DS game I have, the Bachelor game I got for $1.50.
Right.
Not only is he young, but he's also super airbrushed. I mean, this is night and day. He's very old now.
Yes. I guess if you want to see the you want to see the CD, the video game that Easier found it for $1.99. It's the cover of our Facebook.
Is that a Nintendo DS game?
Yeah, it's a Nintendo DS game.
Oh, cool. I had no idea. I have a Nintendo DS. So I should get that game.
Wow, you're the only one who can use it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, we're totally going to beat that up.
Chris.
Yeah.
I have a Switch, I have a freaking Wii, and I don't have a DS, and I'm really bummed because I bought this game. We were even going back and forth. I'm like, I don't want to spend $1 on something I can't use.
Yeah.
Not because it's $1, but because I don't want to have useless things around.
How much
but
fun?
It's not useless anymore.
I'm going to hook you up. You can use it.
Do you get like do you have to like select the rows with the DS and then move it over to the girl or something? That seems like
so it's going
to
be awesome.
With a little wand, with a little stylus pen?
Yeah, and maybe if you drop it, that's it somehow. Okay, look, let's get into Garrett. I got some things to say about this, and it's going to be controversial.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Are you ready?
Later. Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. First of all, we need a preface. For the sake of this conversation, and this is an important thing, and I don't want to dismiss it, but let's take the likes he made of racially charged and insensitive Instagram posts and put it in a jar and put it on the shelf for the time being. Can we do that?
Okay.
Let's give him a clean slate. People are allowed to make mistakes. We don't know if it's repeated behavior. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's just talk about Garrett as we know him on the show. People don't like him, right? What is it about Garrett that isn't exactly what women want? He's goofy. He's funny. He runs up to her on the beach. This is what women say they want. So what is it about Garrett that people don't like?
Well, to me, he seems lobotomized, so I don't like him. He does seem like someone took a part of his brain out. I didn't know other people don't like him, but it's sort of like he always seems like he has severe brain damage or someone. To me, it really he always seems kind of friendly to me, but it looks like he doesn't know what to say, but is searching really hard, like he's always somewhat anxious, and he smiles. I don't like him.
A kind of a blank stare when he's thinking kind of thing?
No, because he smiles. Is it a blankness? No, it's more like his mind is somewhere, but it's not in this reality. It's in like a land of lollipops and gumdrops, and that's the sense I get.
All right. So, okay. Duly noted. Ezier, what is it that women don't like about him? Because I'm seeing
traits. You know, I have a reason. He looks like our parents' generation of a racist, for sure. But
that's a great comment.
He looks like our parents' generation of a racist. All right.
Yeah, he looks like my old neighbor, you know, in the early 90s that would have a Confederate flag on his. But okay, let me tell you the reason. I don't really. He's definitely not for me. I wouldn't want to know him. I don't care, and I don't necessarily hate him, but I don't like him that much. I don't want Blake to win over him. I think Becca and him are a better match. My issue with him is I feel like he's trying to have the same person that he married two times. So he got hurt by his ex, wants to redo his marriage with the same face, because if you look at the video of his wife and him,
they do look
minus cool. All the bad parts, right? Because Becca is definitely drama-free, or at least boring. But
she doesn't really raise her voice. That's a good thing.
Yeah, right. Sure. She needs a second. That's her thing, which I would not be able to live with. I'd rather talk to someone, but they...
Okay, I'm willing to get on board with the he's trying to get his ex-wife, and that's... Yeah, I get that. But the kind of distaste for Garrett from fandom, I think, existed well before this past episode.
Wait a minute. Because they had a conversation at dinner that she basically asked him that what she said was, when you and your wife fought, you saw something bad and didn't want to fight, and you left your first relationship. And she says, I wish with me you would just fight through it. Now, that's a bad sign, but like you're saying, if this hatred comes from before this time, I can't.
Okay, yeah. Well, she did say something, or there was a exchange I thought was odd, which is she point blank asked him, what was it about your ex-wife that you didn't like and led to the breakup? And he didn't answer it.
I think so. He talked about how he knew that she was like emotionally abusive. He might have said it in different words since day one, but it was just he was young and he didn't know how to handle that, right?
Right, that's right. So she goes, what specifically was it about her that you didn't like? And he just went on about how he was young and inexperienced and wanted to make it work. He didn't give specifics.
Oh, he also says he knows that he wanted to be a father, and he has this image of himself as a family man, right? And he wants kids.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't going to work with his wife.
It was an answer a politician would give. And so I'm actually surprised she gave him the rose, right? I mean, I guess.
Well, she likes him a lot. He probably, like I said, I think a few times, he reminds her of her dad.
Well, someone posted a picture that kind of went viral today that not only does his ex-wife look like Becca, but he looks strikingly like her long-term ex-boyfriend, the guy that showed up at the end of the Ari season.
He looks a little like him. I don't think he looks that much like her. I don't think he does. And honestly, I was thinking of doing that, of Blake's wife with Becca. My real issue with that is that woman probably does not want to be outed, and that's not fair to her. And I did watch the wedding video. I mean, I fast forwarded through it, and he looks very young. But you know, it's one of those things where you get dragged into the limelight because you're right. Because someone you used to know is on TV. That's not really that fair.
Right. All right. So it sounds like, unless Chris, you have an idea, it sounds like there's really, again, if we put that past stuff in a bottle, put it on the side. There's really no good reason that there's a vitriol from social media users against Garrett.
I'm just wondering, could you summarize their case, or what do they say when they express that they don't like him?
Ezra, you invited me to this one Facebook group, and all they say is how much they hate him. I don't think they don't give any reasons, but that's kind of the nature of social media.
So they're just like, oh, I hate him.
Yeah.
But they're not saying, oh, he's ugly or stupid.
Like, oh,
or
I can't stand Garrett, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's no, I can't stand him because A, B, and C.
I mean, he has a punchable face. Like, he has, like, one of those faces you don't like.
They all do.
No.
Except for Wills.
No, he does do. I think except for Leo. But
well, yeah, Leo. I would not.
Leo, the golden guy.
He would pick me up with one finger and, like, throw me across the Waterworld stage.
Well, Garrett, so you're talking about, like, putting this thing that he is on a shelf, and I think that's a big, even though, you know,
the reality is that's a big part of it.
We know what we know, but I don't think it's because of that, but I think the way he actually is influences the way he acts on TV, and nobody likes someone who would like those things he claims to like. He does seem like a secret, secret
jerk. Saying. Like, he's got some other universe going on in his head that we don't really have access to.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like a secret person who's like a, you know, the kind of frat guys eventually graduate and they become people in the world, and they become the people that you just like, I don't know why I hate you, but I hate you, you know.
Fraternities and sororities do a lot of good in the community.
I have to deal with a lot of developers.
I was not in a frat, and I did a lot of really gross stuff in college, okay?
But I'm telling you the kinds of guys that I have to deal with that are developers that to my face will be like, let me invite you out for coffee sometime. I'm just like, F you, even if you, just the way that they are bothers me.
Okay, but that has, well, I don't jump to blame the frat nor sorority. You can do damage not in a frat or sorority. And they do a lot of good in the community. So there.
I'm talking about the stereotype, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
Stereotype, it's a stereotype. So... we need to come up with some other phrase than frat boy.
But isn't he? Isn't he that stereotype?
No.
Isn't Garrett?
He's just to me another dude. There's nothing that says frat boy to me.
Chris.
Well, maybe there's something too. He wasn't able to talk through the issues he had in his past, and Becca is afraid he's not able to do that now. Right? He's got some communication block.
Oh yeah.
That could have something to do with because. I don't know if this is what you were saying before, ECR, but I am a big believer in arguments because it does help clarify thought. So I do think it's a red flag. If someone lets things bother them and they don't articulate it, of course there's a bad way to articulate things that bother you. But in general, if you can communicate those things, you can move forward. And maybe there's something to the fact that he doesn't seem to communicate or know how to communicate when things aren't the way he wants them. And that could come out in, oh, I like these things that I don't see a problem with because I never talk about that. I'm just liking them on the internet or whatever. I don't know about that. I'm just saying as a hypothetical because I don't know about that situation. In the same way that it's like, well, he doesn't want to talk about anything. So he just lives in this other world in his head without ever really comparing the ideas and his reality with some objective reality. And that can be a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't think any... Oh, my God. Here's Leo with his cool bun on top of his head. Looking but hot. I don't think anyone online has thought about why they hate him. But I'm sure those reasons you just stated and everything else we've said is kind of this festering, mutual feeling we all have about
but
him.
I would also clarify and say...
Now
Sarah,
I hate
like
him
you.
More.
Okay, maybe then. Because I don't hate him. I just don't particularly
like him.
I have kind of a, neutral. I actually, to be honest, I'm glad you guys keep saying his name because I keep forgetting what his name is. I think I want to call him Grant instead of Garrett, or sometimes I want to call him Blake. So he's just one of these people that blends in. But we're in the final four, so I should know their names now. Garrett. Got it.
Garrett, got it. Good it.
What were you going to say, though, that he's just Chris?
Me?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, oh, he's just this. But you're just saying that you forget his name because he's not... Even
he's just kind of a blank. I always forget that he's the one that's tied to the scandal of liking bad things on the internet because he just comes across he's probably the most bland out of the ones in this episode, I think. And the second most bland is the one that I mix him up with, Blake. The others, right. Wills, I know, Grandpa Munster, I know, Leo, they all have kind of distinguishing features. But for some reason, those two, I can't keep them straight.
Right. You're spot on, Chris, for sure. Look, it's probably going to be Blake and Garrett. Right. So let's prepare for that. And Grandpa Munster will be the third person she has sex with. And we can forget about Colton.
Right.
This is so difficult. Because they are. They're like, you know when they do those things on the internet where they merge like every human being together to come up with the most generic human being? That's how these four are.
That's Colton. That makes me laugh because that's true. That is kind of like lots of white male ages 20 to 35, Colton.
Yeah.
But the only interesting part that I've ever found about Garrett, and the only reason I do remember him from very early on is because he was given the first impression rose, and we knew he was a big deal from the beginning. But, I mean, in terms of The Bachelor. But the reason I really remember him is because she has this whole father issue. You know, she lost her father and she's trying to replace him, in my eyes. And he divorced his wife and is trying to replace her.
Right.
So they have this kind of, like, you know, perfect puzzle piece thing going on.
Yeah.
Maybe that bumps him up. Maybe he is the. Hasn't every winner been a first impression rose receiver in the last 5 years?
No. That's only true for the women and for three women.
Yeah,
only.
For the women. Yeah.
Got it.
Who was it that had the dad? Was it Blake that told this story that his family's all kind of strange?
It's a scandalous story.
We could be looking at a Dean situation here, right?
Well,
one of the best hometown episodes ever, by the way, the Dean episode.
Yes, absolutely. Well, without a question. Here, what was it that he said? I'm blanking on.
Oh, it was great. Basically, he's airing out his whole family's dirty laundry for the world instead of just his small town, right? Because a small town obviously knows about.
Oh, right. He's from a small town. His parents were getting split up. They didn't tell him. And because it's a small town, everyone else in the town knew. And it was she was cheating on her husband with the basketball coach.
With his high school teacher is what it sounded like.
Yeah, high school teacher / basketball coach. So he couldn't play on the basketball team anymore. Didn't want to. And then his basketball player friends were the ones telling him, like, oh, yeah, your mom moved in with the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Do we know what small town, what state he's from?
Colorado, I think he said.
Well, that's where Dean was from.
No, but I think he went back to Venice Beach or no? Because I think he said he was from Venice.
No, but Dean's whole hometown was in Colorado. Cool. Is Blake's going to be as well?
I guess.
Ooh, maybe they know each other. That'd
be fun. Yeah, maybe he's like, you still working on those layups, son? He's just like, he's probably there,
he's
right?
Still digging.
Right, yeah. So I think what the anticipation thusly is that he's going to go on the hometown and have to go to the dad's house and then go to the mom's place, which is also the teacher's place.
Right, and then he's going to ask that question. He's going to say, don't call me son. That's, I have a dad. And they're going to get in this great high school fight, and then she'll be over the drama. But he did say...
Well, we may have seen that a lot before, but that will be great to see on a reality show again. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Was it Ari's season where they had a small town and they're sitting there and one of his no, it wasn't Ari. But like one of his ex-girlfriends comes walking up because it's such a small town.
He's like, I think it was. Was it Nick or Ari? It might have been Nick.
Maybe it was Nick.
Yeah, that sounds right. I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah, his hometown, like him taking whoever
That's
back
right.
to see.
Yeah, he happens to have gone back to his hometown.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like a cold area. It wasn't Scottsdale.
I think there was 6 or 7 years ago a movie with Billy Bob Thornton called Mr. Woodcock, something like that, that's sort of like this, where the basketball teacher gets together with the mom.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Mr. Woodcock?
I think so. I haven't seen it. Something is flashing in my mind, and I think there's a movie, but it's a little different. It happens when the main character is an adult. Instead of as a kid, but it's that same thing, and he's like a hard-ass coach who likes to give his former like student a hard time because he's with his mom.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he does make a lot of movies like that. Billy Bob Thornton does.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, I'll check it out on Hulu when I get a chance.
I wanted to kind of point out that Becca and Blake's relationship is obviously, quote unquote, bachelor cliche coming the farthest along. And they both said they were in love with each other. And that's the most you've heard so far, right?
Right.
Which means that even though we think Garrett, I think we kind of subliminally think Garrett is going to win it all. She just said that her and Blake are in love. And I think, I'm not sure if she's telling the truth. I think she just might love the attention. And this might go back to me thinking that no one's paid attention to her, despite her being the bachelorette. And here we have someone like Blake who says something like that. And she's just like, wow, this is great. Someone loves me. I love him too. You know, it's so, it seems desperate on kind of both their ends. Desperate because he wants to make sure he stays. And she's like, I'm so happy you love me. Anyone loves me.
Right.
But that's kind of where... That's something that happened.
I mean, not happy that Jean Blanc loved her.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That
it's only good if you like the person.
Right. You know, the way you picture this in your head is kind of this like, you know, you're falling off a cliff, but you're slipping down and you don't want to, and you're grabbing onto branches. And they are, the way they say it every time is that they have these like illusions that you're picturing because they go, I'm starting to fall. I'm falling. I'm deeply in. And it's so,
yeah.
I never talk like this ever in my life to anyone.
I know.
I have noted that this season, more than any season, I hadn't really picked up on that they put a huge difference in this franchise on the falling in love with I am in love. So that if people say I'm falling in love, that's acceptable, like Craig would say, on the timeline of like weeks 4 through 6. But right. You don't want to say you're actually in love with someone until week 7 through the end.
Right. Or you know, I could really see myself.
Yeah,
is one of
I
the
could see myself yeah, makes see it me. All okay. What would otherwise be awkward if you said you love them is fine. If you say, I could see myself killing a lot of people. It's fine. I could see myself falling in love.
Have you guys ever snuck into the Greek theater? Because I fell down this... I fell down this cliff from the Griffith Observatory, and the whole time I was falling, I was thinking of bachelor illusions, and I was like, this sucks.
But it
was really bad, but it was funny because it was fine. I'm totally fine.
It was
fine.
Funny because you're still okay, right?
I'm totally fine. Yeah. Nothing at all happened, but it was funny because I kept thinking that these illusions really bug me. And they're not at all applicable in real life. I mean, if anyone talked to me like that, they'd get dumped, you know, immediately.
Oh, of course. Well, this Don't if talk. There is if there really is a underlying statement about the Bachelor Masters podcast, it's that we time and again are constantly going on about how there is no other place in the world, in society, in your life, where you talk about the relationship you're presently fostering more than the Bachelor franchise.
Right.
That's probably true.
Who sits down and talks about this so god awful? I mean,
I guess that's ultimately true, but I am saying that since we don't have a clear visual, which I now will make, that it's interesting to note that Becca and Blake are at the bottom of the hill and totally fine deep in the chasm of love.
Yes.
So that's where we're at.
So Blake will win.
No,
wait.
Well,
Easter says Garrett will win.
I think Garrett will win. I mean, only because Blake is going to be when they were kissing, it looks like they should have just been horizontal. Like, I felt like I was watching something I shouldn't have been watching.
That's good.
And
right?
So, well, what I'm saying is that she's going to go with her clearer head you know, he's the long term. Garrett's the long term.
Because that's
Blake's
what
happened.
That's what Ari did to her. No, she's not gonna talk herself out of what is the clear match like Ari did.
Well, you know what, though? I don't think Blake's the clear match, even if she does, quote-unquote, is in love with him first. Because
I'm confused.
She doesn't take risks. She doesn't take risks. Like, that's her thing, right?
But
right.
I don't see how Blake is not the risk.
I mean, Garrett drove up in a minivan. You know, that is the for sure safe bet, right?
All right. No, you're right.
You know, Becca's been more upfront. Maybe this is more the franchise shifting, but with saying how she has strong feelings or loves multiple people. Because when Blake is having his freak out on the date, one thing that she said was, oh, I kind of understand what Ari was feeling when he said, you know, he loved both of us. And I thought that was even earlier. It's like it's creeping forward in every season, the way that the star is willing to admit that it's like, oh, I don't just love whoever I end up with at the end. Either of you guys notice that?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of was annoyed that they have to keep mentioning anyone else just to keep us interested or to keep some kind of, you know,
I mean, like mention the way she mentioned Ari.
Yeah, it's just like a soap opera drama because we have to remember all these people. Not that I don't, but it would bother me if I. This is the first season I've seen in a long time.
Because I mean, she did say "I love you" to Blake, but she insinuated that she loves other people to him because he wasn't completely satisfied. He was like, he had that little cutaway where he was like, oh, it's just so hard for me to someone always says that every season. It's hard for me to realize she has feelings for other guys. Yeah. But she put it a little more strongly than I remember in the past, that it wasn't just like, I have feelings for other guys. It was like, I love other guys.
Right. I think my takeaway was, and I think this was the most discouraging line of the entire season, is when she's asking the dude, I think it was Blake, how many girls have you taken home to meet your parents? Maybe it was Leo? He's like, oh, only one. And she's like, oh,
it was Leo.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I've only had one too, and that was Ari.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Well, do you remember how old she is? She's 26, right?
27.
Okay. Dude, my dad has met women I've dated on the, like, hey, this is someone I'm on a date with. I mean, I guess I don't follow those traditions.
Yeah, but these people do it differently. They are the kinds of people that want a proposal in front of the Eiffel Tower. You know, they're not like me and you are, Craig. I don't know about you, Chris. I mean, I'm guessing you're kind of like us.
It's probably the same because I remember our definition of like dating in high school was different, where it would be like, oh, suddenly I'm hanging out with this girl a lot. She's around the house. Maybe she meets my parents just because she's around the house a lot.
Right.
But it wasn't this whole, oh, I'm having, you know, Sarah over today for dinner. Come meet her and interview her and stuff. It's just like, hey, you mind if I have like a friend over after school? Okay, yeah, no problem.
I think for these people, and I like calling them that, like taking someone home means pre-engagement, right?
Yeah, and it's different if your parents live far away. Like, Chris, your parents live in upstate New York. Like, flying someone to New York obviously would qualify as bringing a girl home.
Good point.
For them, it means that.
And my dad lives in Vegas, so I've literally been like, hey, come up to my hotel room to say hi and, you know, meet the girl I'm in the hotel room with.
I guess our experiences sound all pretty similar because, yeah, I guess even post-high school and into college and beyond, it's like, even there's been some people that maybe I've dated, but I haven't introduced them to my parents in that way. Yeah, I guess for the reason that it's like I'm not traveling home all that often, but even if my parents were around, it wouldn't necessarily be like, let's have this big to do, and this is I'm writing this down in my diary. I have now introduced 4 women to my parents, and I have my standard answer when someone asks.
Yeah.
Well, in Becca's case, 0, and except for Ari, the person you met on a reality TV show.
Right, the one the TV show forced you to bring home. But don't you think that when the standard, I'm going to bring someone home, mom and dad, and if you're a girl, that means that the dad's going to take the boyfriend aside and be like, what are your intentions? You know, like, this is the ridiculous world that I do not live in, but like that's what they're talking about. That kind
of, like, can't get your blessing for a serious relationship kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's a different world, and it's also a different decade for them, but it's like, whatever, you know.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, quick note on upcoming hometowns. Grandpa Munster from Buffalo. So we're getting into some of my hometown area. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's the only one who kind of, he said it best. He's like, I feel great, but these two guys over here are sweating it because I know that I am going to hometowns, right? Like he called it, because there's no way. I mean, Will's finally stopped mumbling because to like one up the competition, but it didn't work. And I did kind of feel bad for him, but I don't know, whatever, yeah, you know,
yeah.
He wasn't going to make it too far.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Next week, we got Blake, who has the odd family, the Dean-esque family, correct?
We'll see. I don't know if it's Dean-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have Garrett, who, what do we know about his family?
He's from Reno, but maybe he's just from Reno.
Okay, Reno. Got some interesting memories from Reno, personally, that I can probably convey in a somewhat funny way next episode. And then... And then we got Grandpa Munster. What do we know about his family?
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
He's investment
Buffalo
banker.
Okay, Buffalo. And then...
Colton with his sniper dog.
He's from Indiana, right? Sniper.
Oh, yeah. His dog is named Sniper?
Yeah.
I imagine it'll be a football field to visit, right? Like, we'll probably go to his gym and his old high school football field and whatever, right?
Goodness. That sounds rad. I can't wait for Colton's boring, no-talking, like, terrified look. That's going to be the worst one, right?
Yeah,
out of
probably.
The four guys.
Yeah. We got to mention our social media. A few episodes ago, I said, Chris, we've passed 100 Twitter followers, and that was a big accomplishment. Well, we have made even more strides thanks to EZR just in the last week. We had a video that EZR made that expressed in video form evidence that the guys really aren't into Becca, and it went as viral as you could probably hope for. Thousands of views, multiple likes to our Facebook page. People really found something they really liked in that video, EZR. Great job.
All that aside, what really matters is, have we convinced Chris at all? I mean, at this point... At this point, it's moot, right? Because the last four guys are actually interested. And that's all she really needs is one, like we've said before. But Chris, we are dying to know. And again, I had so much stuff left visually, illusion-wise, on the editing floor. Because there's just stuff you can't prove when it's not there.
I know. Well, I just love it when she's telling the guys that they have to run to her. I every time I see that in your video, I just bust up. LOL.
I think it's also moot because you've won the hearts and minds of the people, ECR, so I'll also say that my opinion is largely irrelevant, but I'm still holding out. I saw the video, but I'm not, other than the music and some of, I assume they're your subtitles that I thought were funny, like unenthusiastic sighs, or, you know, but I just don't,
ABC.
I think I see all of that. Oh, that's all ABCs.
No. See... I'm kidding. I made it.
Okay. Because I was going to say, well, then that just goes to show that I guess maybe I'm willfully not seeing what's there. But without that context, I think I still see just kind of like that's Becca's personality, that she tells people to run faster. They're already running, though. And she tries to, like, she's kind of playfully looking at them, get their shirts off and stuff. I don't see it as disinterest.
When she gets hit with the dodgeball.
That's funny. That is funny.
That is really funny.
I mean, it's just that guy after guy after guy, it's not even the same three guys. You know, it's every guy.
Well, on Bachelor Masters, I hate to put a plug out for a different reality dating show. But I know, Craig, sometimes you mention some of your favorites. But I've been watching... on Hulu, we got this ITV show called Love Island. It's this British dating show.
Yeah, that's been
suggested
to me,
Chris.
You brought it up before, Chris. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been continuing to watch it. And it's really interesting to see next to The Bachelor, because it's a shorter overall season, but you get a ton of episodes. It's daily episodes. So you spend a lot more time, to the point, I know it would drive you crazy for that reason, Craig, and you do get into the minutia, but you get a more intimate feeling overall. Like every season that ends, it gives me an empty feeling after it's done. But that really makes me see how they really sexualize their contestants in that show. Like they're very attractive people and very sexual on the British show. But it's amazing to see how quickly even all these really hot people are desexualized in such an intimate setting. And I also think a lot of the stuff in The Bachelor must happen, but we get a much more over like an overview, because the episodes cover so much content that it's edited down into a week's time, I think, mm-hmm. into one episode. So that's also part of, like, when you see people in such close proximity, even if it's someone that they would like, it's all of the things we've talked about in the past where it's like they're sometimes shooting for like over 12 hours. They're all in very close proximity. They've got all these unnatural forces that it's like sometimes it's like people are into or not into people. I'm thinking like, well, they're probably exhausted and, mm-hmm. you know, stressed out and stuff like that.
Yeah, we got to check this out, EGR.
Well, I've heard about it from more than one person now, and I am so excited because I don't know if you guys remember Temptation Island that was on Fox in the early 2000s. Oh, man. Wherever that's available, that is one of the first reality shows. I think it was based on The Bachelor, basically, but they were kind of saying we're better because we're actually what you want to see. And it was, I think it was couples would go to islands and then get their like soulmates would come on too. Mm. Like, oh, this is my girlfriend, but my ideal woman is blah, blah, blah. And then their ideal woman or man would come on and they'd get like a night alone. They go on dates, and so it was like couples trying to test their relationships or trying to make sure.
Sounds a little bit like the redone the season 2 version of Dating Naked, which was a lot like that. Well, speaking of the British television, that when England lost today to Croatia, the BBC Twitter tweeted, "We will no longer." What was it? It was like, "We are no longer broadcasting" or something like that. "We are off the air indefinitely" or something like that. It was pretty funny.
That's pretty good. Good sports.
Yeah.
ITV is different than BBC. I learned that through The Stranger. I mean, The Prisoner. The Prisoner.
Yes, I know we got corrected on that.
Prisoner was on ITV and it was not on BBC. So, correction.
Yeah.
Asterisk.
Who knows how British television works. But the
yeah.
Well, so anyway, just to circle back, I'm actually very happy with how our social media has worked out. So we have our podcast here, where I think we try to talk about the issues in social context. That's always been our goal. And then we got the Twitter, which is me just trying to be funny, live tweeting the episodes, and I have a lot of fun, and we've made a lot of friends there. And then we got the Instagram, which is EZR posting these really funny images and videos where you're kind of revisiting things we talk about on the podcast. And then there's our Facebook, which I don't know. I don't really know what that is, because it's like hard to get into
it's our leftovers feeds.
And yeah, it's just but it's there, and I hope you like the page. And then there's Chris, who without Chris we would not have the Hulu episodes online that we can grab content from and watch as we're doing the podcast. So we're all contributing. It's great.
Do not
That's
tell
nice
Hulu,
of you,
Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you include me in the same category as all of the work that both of you do. My passive contribution is up there with that.
Well,
no, I really think what you guys do is incredible, so sorry that I can't contribute more, but I love being involved.
Well, I know just from working in related technologies, I mean, that, and I'm not just saying this because Hulu is our unofficial sponsor, but the amount of work that goes into getting video content online and distributing it to millions of people worldwide is pretty impressive. They were promising us video on the web since the inception of the web, and it wasn't until 5 or 6 years ago that we ever actually got video on the web. So that's
well, it's interesting how we might backslide, it seems, into the old boss is back, basically, with live packages and other VOD packages looking like your old cable bundles pushing cord cutters back into plugging in the cord again. So who knows?
That's Slingbox's big thing, right? It's like you just buy whatever channels you want.
Yeah.
I think this is one of our longer podcasts. We covered a lot of ground. Holy cow. I think I must have drank in more caffeine than usual.
I like it.
Easy, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. You
kind of, watching the dance.
You're uncharacteristically quiet.
I have nothing to say. Can you believe it?
Oh, because, well, you keep paper lists, right, of what to talk about, and then when you hit the end,
I've upgraded to computer, but yeah, okay. I used to waste paper trying.
I respect your organization, Easier.
Thank you.
If it weren't for that, we would be completely incomprehensible. All right,
I'm going to watch Love Island now.
Yeah, Love Island's next.
It's good. I really do. I. Craig, I know that you're sensitive to time commitments, maybe a little more than ECRI. So that was the one thing I was thinking when I would talk to you guys about it, that you may or may not get into it. But it does have, it's really cool to see that you, like, it gets its own cliches, but you're, like, watching a franchise, at least that's kind of building itself from the ground up. So it's like, as you watch a few seasons, you see, like, oh, they must have watched the last season, and they kind of have their own lingo that's different from other reality shows to say this, this, or this. So that's interesting.
Well, I'd like to give
but
a
then
try.
Also, oh, it's a little bit better, like, at showing friendship, I think, than The Bachelor, where not all the relationships, people will pair as friends sometimes if they aren't sexually attracted to each other. And there's something about that I thought was like kind of moving. Like one of the final, well, yeah, someone that goes far in the first season is like a friendship couple. I was like, you'd never get that in America.
Right.
But I love friendship.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. I'd love to watch it. I invest so much time in Bravo shows and then listening to the Watch What Crappens podcast that it's not, yeah, I do. I am sensitive of my time because of work and stuff, but I also have this whole Bravo Watch What Crappens layer on top of it.
Yeah.
I am kind of stacked up, but as things maybe calm down a little bit in August, I'll definitely try to give it as much time as I can.
Cool.
Go ITV. All right, you two. I guess I'll catch you next week.
Sounds good. Have a good one, guys.
Okay, bye.